Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Founder Story. If you've heard this show before, you know that mental health, stress, trauma, these things are something that I want to know more about because I am on a mission to be the best version of myself this year and beyond. And I know you are too. But today we have Dr. Kate Truitt, who is an incredible psychologist, mental health media consultant. She is also an advocate and expert in neuroscience and trauma and resilience. And I think we have a lot of traumas that we are carrying. She's also the author of Keep Breathing that just launched back in April. But Dr. Kate Truitt, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here, Dan. Thank you.
Let's start off by talking about Keep Breathing. So what was the inspiration for this book and how was it transitioning from being the clinician to author?
I think we're, as you just highlighted, we're in a time where mental health, whether we talk about it or not, is a primary framing for our society. There is so much anxiety, so much stress, so much trauma. And we know the pandemic, in many respects, opened up a doorway to mandate these conversations. But I believe they've been going on for a long time prior to that. And when I started writing Keep Breathing, it was truly a call to action for myself to say, I need to be the change that I want to see in the world. So I've been in the field of mental health for over 20 years, so a good bit. And we were trained in the field of mental health to not really be human, to not talk about ourselves or our experiences. And yet I don't know a single mental health practitioner, and you tell me if you've met one, who didn't get into this field because they've struggled with something or they've loved somebody who struggled. And in many societies at a global level, we're not allowed to talk about these human struggles. So I had a reckoning and I said, I've been through a lot, and my memoir has been called a thriller, which was probably the most apt description that I've had reflected back to me. So I've been through a lot, thriller a lot. And I'm also an expert, and I've been very privileged to acquire a lot of education in the things that fundamentally, in some respects, almost killed me. And so I said, hey, what if I gave my story and my educational privilege a job and turn that into being the change I want to see in the world? And so I pulled back the iron curtain on being a psychologist and not being able to be human and said, I am so human. I have been in the trenches of PTSD. I have had panic attacks, literally, and some of the stories in the book, in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard. I have been through my version of so much deep human real pain. And let me illuminate why these things happen, because it's not crazy. It's our brains being a brain. So it's been really interesting and really exciting since April to see people putting up their hands and saying, hey, me too, and thank you.
We need that. We really need that. I think back to, and thank you for sharing and being so vulnerable. And that really helps, at least for me, when I hear other people have done it, I'm like, wow, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. Going back to when I was in, I think I was maybe 10 years old, I started having a lot of anxiety, and that manifested itself getting worse over time. Mm-hmm. Going back to even 2020 reminded me of that time in my life. Like, we were so afraid that every time we went to the grocery store, we might not even make it home alive. We've really like dealt with that trauma the last 4 years. What are you seeing since then?
I think you just called it out beautifully. And thank you for your vulnerability. And I know my version of that childhood anxiety. And, you know, I dig into it, the neurobiology of it in the memoir, of what that looks like and feels like on so many different levels. Since 2020, because now we're in 2024, what are we still seeing? We're a lot of brains that are dealing with the chronic stress of living through the pandemic. A lot of nervous systems that I view as firing on all cylinders still, except for now we're not in a lockdown, I'm going to die at the grocery store mentality. And I certainly know my version of that fear. Now our brain has been trained, I believe, to have a trauma filter, an anxiety filter around this, to look out for the next new threat. And our brain actually is wired. We're born into this world with a negativity bias, a very specific bias that is going to look out for threat to keep us alive. And if we don't have a real threat like the pandemic, our brain will find other threats to focus on, and those will take over. Our brain is very trainable. It's called neuroplasticity. It is constantly shifting and changing across the course of our lives, sometimes in favor of the things we want it to do, but other times not so much.
Wow. That's, I mean, I can relate to that. I think a lot of people can relate to that. We are in this constant state of like, every time I read the news, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a new virus, or there's a new something, or there's something else. Like, there's always something that is going to like wipe me off this planet. What are you seeing in terms of like, how do we move forward? How do we create the brain that we want in less negativity bias, maybe more positive? I'm not sure if that's the opposite.
And I appreciate you calling that out. I think when I think about the opposite, it's actually surprisingly probably more compassionate, resilience. Positive can seem elusive, especially when we are in a stressed out moment, but to have resources or a connection to self can be the game changer. The way I really think that humanity in a primal fundamental way can start to change, and this is one of my biggest missions in life, the relationship with their own mental health and have a domino effect in relationship to one another, is destigmatizing experiences of stress, destigmatizing what it feels like to have anxiety. And by destigmatizing, it means pulling back that iron veil again and saying, hey, we're all human. We all have brains that do scary big things sometimes. And what if we can turn inward towards our brain and go, wait a minute, brain, you're trying to keep me safe. It doesn't make sense, but high five. Thank you. And in that moment, if it feels out of control, reach out to somebody else and say, hey, my brain's doing weird things. Can you help me? And that person, knowing because of their own safety and language around mental health, being able to go, my brain does weird things too. Hi, let's come together and have a conversation. We are designed for connection and community. And that is such a deep healing balm that is wired into us as a species. And yet, coming out of the pandemic, we are becoming more and more isolated and disconnected from one another at very deep fundamental levels that are unsettling and worrisome.
That reminds me of technology. It seems like, as we think of like, I love social media, seems to make us less social. And we have all these tools and these apps and things, but yet we're more lost and younger generations are more isolated. So what's your thoughts around the advancements of AI? I mean, I was just watching today, AI can watch and communicate and see what you're wearing and what's going on around you. I mean, it sounded like you're talking to a human, but I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But what are you thinking in terms of going forward here?
I think it's so multi-layered and complex. And when we look at the literature of what's been unfolding over even the past decade of how our reliance on technology, especially for developing brains, is fundamentally rewiring brains. It's changing our ability to have emotional intelligence, to communicate effectively, to connect to one another. In the most basic terms, I think it's a poor plan for our species. We need to come together for our species to continue to survive. And the more we build these relationships...
We will return to our show shortly, but first, let's talk about today's sponsor, Magnesium Breakthrough by Bio-Optimizers. Did you know 4 out of 5 Americans don't get enough magnesium? Crucial for over 300 biochemical reactions in your body. Here are signs of magnesium deficiency: irritability, anxiety, insomnia, muscle cramps, high blood pressure, and even constipation. I know I suffer from a few of these, but many supplements don't work well because they use low quality magnesium. That's why Magnesium Breakthrough by Bio-Optimizers is recommended, offering 7 forms of absorbable magnesium. Bio-Optimizers stands by their products with a 365-day money-back guarantee. That's insane. So make sure you visit biooptimizers.com, bioptimizers.com/Dan Robbins. That's bioptimizers.com/DanRobbins for a special offer. And make sure you use the code Founders, 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 and you get your 10% off. So check out bioptimizers.com to learn more. And back to the show.
With technology or with these experiences of AI, the more concerning that becomes to me. Now, on the other hand, and I shared with you right before we jumped on the call, I've been following AI for a long time, and I have a love relationship with AI. I think it can do some incredible things for humanity, and I'm very hopeful about some of those experiences. On the other hand, if humans divorce themselves from themselves, and therefore one another, our species will not survive. Our species is based on these relationships we have, the one-on-one, the community, the group, the village. And if we stop intentionally creating that, we will foundationally, biologically change and possibly phase ourselves out of existence as we know ourselves to be. Now, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this. Some people might say that's not so bad. What do you think?
Yeah, many years ago, I bought a website, daterobots.com. This is back in like 2015.
Before the movie?
No, I didn't. I just at the time, I'm like, you know what? I just think about the future in a different way than I think most people, right? And I go through these bizarre like tangents in my own brain of like what the future will be. But I've really been thinking about this. We know population's already been declining. People are having less kids in most countries, not all, but many. Yeah. And you have now with AI being so real and lifelike, it can be your perfect mate, your perfect person, the perfect relationship, what we think is perfect. But human to human, it could be complicated. It's complex. So I wonder how this is going to play out when it comes to, what are your thoughts around just the future of relationships?
Yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Ramani, who I believe is a guest on your show, she talks a lot about the idealization of the Disney relationship and how we're taught to have an expectation of somebody turning around and fawning on us and being in the spotlight. And she's got an entire thing in her book. And so when I think about AI, and I've been exploring AI since Kurzweil's, his first books came out. I've been following him since he originally published. The idealization is lovely, and our brain does have a certain predisposition to love being told we are okay, we are right, we are good, I see you, I feel you, I hear you, because that it does feel good. And it's in a healthy, balanced relationship for a toddler, okay space to be. And yet, as adult humans who are living in a larger plane of existence, the complexities and the nuances of the human relationship allow us to do what you said as we started this conversation, be the best version of ourselves. We level up and grow through each other. It's a core part of how our brain is designed from day one. And there, I believe evolution gets some things right. And I think that's one of them. And again, it's a high five to the brain. We need one another, even if it's just to learn more about who we are. We don't have the ability to see all the layers of ourselves. And I do wonder, and this is just a philosophical pondering, because you're an innovator, I'm an innovator. I think about these different layers of complexity and I go, won't we get bored if we have a robot or a machine that's constantly telling us all the things we think we want to hear? Like, don't we eventually get sick of the candy and want something a little bit different? What then? You type in, make me, you know, interest me. And then it's like, I don't know how. What happens next?
Maybe it's like pendulums seem to swing in throughout human history. It swings one way with the creation of something and we realize we want something different. Like now the 90s is popular again. Now we're swinging back to the 90s and everything is like, people are going back to flip phones. Yeah, it's very interesting as a society. I love the name of your book, Keep Breathing. It reminds me of the tools and things that I tried to do, but I'm not always great at, but breath work, meditation. And I've heard so many good things about the fact that we just don't breathe. Like we need to, or we have to, but what are you seeing in terms of, or are you looking at like other tools or ways to combat stress or anxiety?
Yeah. Well, and may I give a little context on the title?
Please. Yes.
The title's multi-layered. So the book opens up with a very traumatic loss where I found my partner before our wedding and he had passed on and I couldn't make him breathe. And as I started writing the book, there was this really deep awareness in my own psyche going through my trauma journey that there are moments where breath is fundamentally the only thing that we feel like consciously we can do, and how quick we are to bypass the very natural rhythms of our humanity. These fundamental things that we are designed to do, like breath. And to keep breathing is our brain and our body, especially in our darkest moments, turning around and saying, I love you. I am going to continue to breathe, even when everything else feels impossible or untenable. That 1% is our system caring for us and loving us. And so when we look at our healing journey, our personal empowerment work, those moments where we say, I know all the tools and I'm not doing anything. And I know I've been there. All of my clients have been there. Everybody I know in my life has had one of those moments. That actually can become a doorway if we can open up to the very real reality. We're still breathing. There is something inherent within us that is saying, you can keep moving forward, and maybe today this is all we've got. And self-compassion can be a little seed that gets planted in those quiet moments. Because self-compassion is a skill. We're not taught to be self-compassionate. We're taught to actually prioritize other people, and we're hardwired to be compassionate towards other living beings, but not towards ourselves. That's taught. And so that is the door that I find opens so many other doors when it comes to those moments when we're reaching for the tools but find that we can't. And through the field of neuroscience now, there's a whole host of other opportunities that we can leverage to partner with our brain and sculpt our brain, what I call healing the past, building the present, and creating the future we want to live with. As we now know that we can actually partner with our brain with intention. And that's what my first book is all about, is that partnership, because therapy is lovely, but it's a privilege and mental health is a right. So what if we teach brain partnership and neuroplasticity and put healing in people's hands so that they can do their own work without reliance on one of me or one of my colleagues. Sorry, colleagues.
Wow, I commend you. I mean, I can tell that you are truly about impact and that it's much bigger than what you went through, what I went through. It's really, you know, as a society, as a whole, as a human species, that we really need to get together and figure these things out. And I hope people pick up the book. I mean, the fact that you are willing to dive into that gives me inspiration to tell my story to people. I think other people are going to feel the same way, that, you know, we find solace, or we find almost compassion in hearing other people's stories.
Yeah. And feel seen.
We feel seen.
We feel seen
in other people. And that's.
Yeah. And that can save lives. It does save lives. In fact, I know it saves lives. And we can say me too in so many different layers and levels and know that we're not alone. That can save lives. And it does.
Amazing. So what's the future? I know this book just came out, but what's next for you?
Yeah, I think what's happened since my memoir came out in April is even just the simple reflection of the construct of keep breathing and people sharing with me how much more permission they're giving them to themselves to simply be human. I feel like we are in a world where being human is no longer good enough, and that does pull us back into that AI conversation. We are not enough. And so many of us are raised through this framework of performance and expectation and pressure and taught at a foundational level, we're not enough. And then we bring in all the societal, cultural constructs of what that means and privilege and pressure, all of it. It's like, what happens then? So the opportunity is to just say, hey, wait a minute. Being human means that it's messy and there's permission within the mess. There's connection. Imagine that, connection within the mess. And if I can be one more voice that's saying, hey, I've had a lot of things happen, and just kind of lay out my very real stories on the line in some pretty raw and vulnerable ways. And they are pretty raw and vulnerable. As I get messy, I get real. And then also say, and this is why the brain's doing the thing. So if your brain's ever done this, this is why. That can bring us back together in some really wholehearted ways, which I think then uplevels us for what's coming around the bend with the incredible opportunities of AI, of technology, of advancement to make the impact we really want to see and know is possible, as opposed to going around the other bend.
Well, I like meeting other messy people because I can be very messy. So I appreciate that. If people want to get the book, they want to find out about you. I believe that your practice is in Los Angeles. How can they get in touch?
So I have a group clinic here in Los Angeles, or brick and mortared in Pasadena. We treat throughout Los Angeles and a couple other states. DrTruitt.com. Anybody's looking for some additional support on their journey. I have a training institute that's global. That's the Truitt Institute. And we do workshops, training, seminars to put these tools into people's hands. We work at an international level, and also train everything from physicians into ourselves to help our brains be better brains. And of course, I'm on social media, so please, you know, look me up on Instagram or YouTube. I'm very shareware. My goal is to empower humanity. And so lots of psychoeducation, lots of guided exercises, healing videos. It's all about brain-based work, neuroscience-based, trauma-informed, resilience-focused, brain partnership. That's our model. And then the books, the memoir is all about helping us as humans say brains get messy. And like I said, it's been called a thriller and a love story, which is pretty good for a scientific book. I'll take it. And then my first book is a personal healing journey for anybody who really wants to get to know their brain in some pretty deep and powerful ways and curate and cultivate intentional neuroplastic change for themselves. And that's called Healing in Your Hands. And both of them are available at all your major booksellers.
Well, Healing in Your Hands, Keep Breathing. Dr. Kate Truitt, thank you so much for today. I'm just really inspired by everything that you're doing and all the impact that you're creating. And I hope that we can also do that same thing here. But thank you for joining us today on Founder Story.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Thank you for tuning in to Founder Story. Keep exploring, keep dreaming, and join us next time for more inspiring entrepreneurial journeys.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.